take all of it, do all of it, never miss it, go all in. But while you're doing all that, don't forget the person of God. Because the activity and the things of God are not supposed to replace God. They're supposed to lead you to God.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the Church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
A sweet time of worship. Thank you, worship team. Man, good to see each of you this morning. Man, wasn't last week great? That was fun last week, amen. Great crowd, great brisket. Don't mean to do that to you. Just did it. But great time. I told somebody last week as I was walking around, this is where Jesus would be. That's where Jesus come to, right there. He'd walk in last Sunday in that worship, and then he'd walk out there, and he'd be all in that, man, all in that, because that's called life, and he's about life, and he loves every bit of that. And so grateful for the team that ran that, grateful for Kay's leadership and putting that together, all the brisket cooking, beautiful, love every minute of that. Love every minute of that. So thank you so much. So today, I'm going to kind of pick up a little bit kind of where we left off. Last week, looked at, simply just titled, I'm bored. Okay, I'm bored. Today, if you're looking for title messages, some of you just big note takers, and I love that. Sometimes y'all leave it in here and I get to read it. That's pretty cool. Y'all do good. That's pretty cool because we come in here Monday mornings right before staff. My staff comes in at 8:30 before staff meeting at 9, and we pray in the house we just had war in. That's what we do Monday morning. And so if you send us prayer requests or you reach out to us during the week about things, surgeries and prayer, that's what your staff does Monday morning at 8:30 in here. We have worship plan and we just spread out and we just pray. And so we just like to go to war where this is. This is called a house of worship. This is called a house of prayer. But what it really is a war room. This is a war, man. It's a war. And so some of you leave your notes and I'll find them. And I'm like, that's pretty good. That'll preach. That's a good outline right there. That's nice. And so beautiful job. So if you're looking for a title, what am I chasing? What am I chasing? And I'm going to say something to you. That's a bigger question than you think. What am I chasing? What am I chasing? So last week, I looked at a couple of things, comparison. There's the things of marriage, and then there's the person of marriage, amen? And those are massively different. See, this thing called marriage starts with the pursuit of the individual God has brought in your life and called to be your spouse. You catch him or her by your pursuit of that person. You know that you know that you know that you know, amen? And so you chase them, you run after them, you go, you do everything, you do crazy stuff. I told you that same cop gave me 2 tickets getting to Melissa, okay? He just said, same girl? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, good job on that, all right? Well, thank you, sir. What do I sign? And so that's how that went. And so what I'm saying is, it starts with the person of God, but then kids come along, sleep, eat, poop. Sleep, eat, poop. You know what I mean? They do anything different? Yeah, they finally do. They throw fits and they take toys from other, you know, kids. They do other stuff. And so the kids come and you have one and they have a schedule. Then you have 2 and they have a schedule. And then 3, they have a schedule. Then 5, bless Jesus, okay? And 7, oh, praise the Lord. All right? But you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, same house, same people that got married, but all this stuff, man, that the things of marriage, and what fades or can fade if you're not intentional is the person of marriage. And that is, I'm just telling you, the enemy doesn't have to do anything. He just gets you busy. He doesn't have to make you bad, amen? He just gets you busy. And if you get busy, you stop being intentional to the person of marriage, and you start being entertained by the things of marriage or not entertained by the things of marriage, and that's what gets you in trouble. So if you're in here today and you're married, never forget it started with a person and it ends with a person. And don't lose the person of marriage in between all the things of marriage, okay? There ain't no greater thing that you can do as a father than love your kid's mama like crazy. That is, woo! And don't think they're not watching. You put her on the mountain, man, and you love her, man. And I'm gonna tell you what'll happen. Your son or daughter do the same, okay? Not because you taught it, but because they caught it, all right? Always never forget the person of marriage. So there's the things of God, and then there's the person of God. Listen to me. The same principle applies. There's a lot of things of God, and they're all good things. Listen to me. The things of marriage are good things, okay? They are. They can just lead you away unknowingly from the person of marriage. All the things of God, they're good things, but don't make them God. There is one God. Don't lose the person of God, okay? Because the things of God, even if it's the color of carpet or the hymnal or the pew or the windows or a song that you sing or a Sunday school class, a small group, anything like that, okay? I mean, the brisket are things of God. God made the brisket, amen? Made me. So I should eat the things he made, all right? And that's just how it works. And so you can get lost in the things, okay? Listen, there's a lot of things that we will offer. Following Jesus coming up, we'll offer that. That's a thing, but it's not God. Things to get you to God, to lead you to God, that discover purpose, spiritual gifts. That's a thing in the church offered by the thing, but it's not a thing for you to fall in love with and then become your God. It's a thing that leads to God or a deeper walk with God. Amen. Worship is a thing, but it's not a God. It's to get you to God. You see what I mean? I mean, this is the word of God. This is a Bible, but the person of the Bible is why you read it. It's not to get a star. It's not to say, I read the Bible through every year. That's my goal. I've done 100 times. I've read it through. No, it's not reading it through. It's letting it get through. Can I say something to you? Don't show off by reading the Bible. Show what the Bible did to you. Does that make sense? If I got on your toes, you just need better shoes. What I'm saying is, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying we sometimes turn people away from God by talking about the things of God. We just do, all right? We just do. So be careful that the things of God are not what you're chasing, but you're chasing God, all right? You're chasing God. So this morning, you know I love questions, all right? I don't make statements, I ask questions, all right? What are you chasing? Just first answer, what came? What are you chasing? Let me say it like this. What are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? Are you chasing the stuff, the things, the stuff of God? Are you chasing the heart, the person of God? Listen to me. Are you chasing the things or the stuff of God? Or are you chasing the person of God, the heart of God? You say, well, they're kind of the same. No, no, they're not even close. They're not close. If you think that's a tie, you hurting. Okay, I need to see you, okay? That's not the same. There's a huge difference in the two, okay? And you see a huge difference in the individuals that are chasing the opposite of those. As a matter of fact, you're gonna get to see it in scripture. Let's go there while we talk, okay? Go to Exodus chapter 20. I want you to see this. This has been the case from all the way back. God is trying to get us to chase him and not the things. I want you to see it. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 18. 18, Exodus 20, verse 18. Moses has just received the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, okay? Look at verse 18. When the people, now let's give these people a name before we get started. Who are these? God's people. Just let that sit just for a second, okay? When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. If you have your own Bible, underline that or highlight it. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. We're going to go back there in a little bit too, all right? The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. We're going to see it again in Psalms. There it is laid out right there. Laid out right in front of you. So I want you to see something. The people were afraid. Okay? They were afraid. When you are afraid, you walk away. Many of us face things that we don't understand or we don't know. They're called unknown. The unknown can scare you to death. It can cause fear to come up in you. It can cause you to walk away. But I want you to see what Moses did, okay? But fear, okay, there's afraid, you walk away. There's fear, and you draw close. Two different things. The people were afraid, went away. Fear caused them to come close, okay? We're gonna see in just a little bit. So always get this in your head. I'm afraid, so I stay away, but if I fear, I come close, okay? I want you to see it. There's a big difference. There is a big difference between being afraid of God and having the fear of God. You got to catch this. There's a big difference between being afraid of God. Oh, I don't want, no, don't send God. No. God's going to beat me up. God's going to punish me. God's going to be mean to me. God's going to be tough. No, that's not God. It's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. It's his love that draws us to salvation. It's his love. Listen to me. It is not, God is not a God to be afraid of. He is a God to fear, okay? There's a difference between being afraid of God and having the fear of God. Having the fear of God is the reverent awe and respect of the holiness and the completeness of a sovereign God. He's the creator. He is the creator, man. He is the one that spoke it. I have the fear of God. Listen, here's what he's trying to test you. So that the fear of God would what? The fear of God would what? Keep you from sinning. That's what he's after. They didn't want you to be afraid of God. God does not want us to be afraid of him. Who's coming to a God that you're afraid of? Now listen to me, what happens to some of us is, sometimes we have what's called a father issue or daddy issue, where our earthly father either left us or was mean to us or talked down to us or always disappointed us. And unfortunately for some people, the earthly father is kind of the example of us for us to our heavenly father, okay? I was once in youth ministry for 18 years and I was sharing with this young man one time And I said, hey, he was lost. And I was trying to lead him to Christ, okay? And I said these words to him. I said, Jesus will stick closer to you than anything in the world. Your Heavenly Father will never leave you nor forsake you because he's in love with you. He's crazy about you. And his whole face changed. And he says what my dad said too, and then he left me. And I want you to know, I never saw that young man ever again. Never came back to our youth group. I would like to think that somebody crossed his path, picked up that chapter, and ran with it. But I don't know that. Unfortunately, we think sometimes that our earthly father is a representation of our heavenly father. And I pray that all earthly fathers are a representation of the heavenly father. But sometimes they're not. But listen to me. God does not want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to fear him because the fear of God will keep you from sinning. If you understand what sin is and what God had to do for sin, all right, what it cost him to forgive of sin, the blood of Jesus, the cross, that what he had to do, the atonement sacrifice that had to be made to cover our sins. If we know the fear of God, if the fear of God keeps us from sinning, we don't want to swim in sin. We don't want to dabble in sin. We don't want to be a part of sin. And as soon as it happens, we'll make it right because we know what it cost him. Sin is a big thing. It's not a flippant thing. It's not, I don't care. So I'm forgiven. No, it's a big deal. And he wants you to have the fear of God, okay, to keep you from sinning, not to be afraid of God like he's going to beat you up if you do. That is not our God. That is not our God. Sin's bad because sin breaks fellowship, okay? Our fellowship with God, the intimacy we have with God, what keeps us from God is sin in our lives that broke our fellowship with God. That's why he wants to forgive sin. That's why he wants us to confess sin. That's why he wants us to make sin right. Why? Because where we left off with God and the sin that got in between us, as we forgive and are covered by the blood, that relationship comes back to the fellowship that it needs to be, the intimacy that it needs to be. That's why he loves the fellowship. And that's why he hates sin, because sin separates us from God. It keeps us from God. From the beginning, it keeps us from God, from salvation. And he says, I want you to be forgiven of your sins and be saved, okay? But after salvation, if we mess up and make mistakes, the fear of God, okay, the fear of God, all right, ought to chase us to God to make things right so our fellowship with God is right again, okay? So it's not about being afraid of God, okay? It's about the fear of God. That way, when things happen in your life, you don't run away from God. The fear of God, knowing who he is, okay, that he chased you and loves you, will cause you to run to him, okay? Because the unknown will scare you to death. I want you to go in your Bible, go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I want you to see it again. Psalm 103, look at verse 7. 103:7. Same concept, I want you to see it. Psalm 103, verse 7. God made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. If you have your own Bible where it says ways, I want you to write heart. H-E-A-R-T, heart. He made known his heart to Moses. And where it says deeds, I want you to write activity. Activity. Okay? Can't spell activity. Write things. Okay? So look at the difference. Moses knew his heart. The people only knew his activity and his deeds. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people. Now, I want you to see something. Exodus 20, the passage we just read. The people are there. Moses are there. They hear the same thing, thunder, trumpet. They see the same stuff, lightning, okay? the smoke shakes. They see it. Both parties are present. Amen. One group runs away. One runs to. Y'all follow me? One group knew the things, the activities of God. And one knew his heart. I mean, y'all know the story. The people in the wilderness. Oh, Lord, just take us back to Egypt. Lord, help. I mean, we're going to die out here. They are voluntarily wanting to go back like it was. Why? Because they are viewing things in activity of God. He don't even care if we started there. We're going to get eaten by locusts. I mean, my goodness, we're out here. He don't even know. They don't even know we're out here. And Moses, he's probably thinking, seriously, lead these people? I like to kill them all. But he had to meet with them, all right? There's a big difference, my friend. All of us have life. Trust me. Life just keeps on happening, amen? Just keeps on happening. I, your pastor, am not immune to that. I get lots of life, okay? Lots of life happens. When life happens, and all you know is the activities and the things of God, it can mess with you. But if you know the heart of God, when life happens, you're all right. You're all right. Where do you go? Not away. To. You go to him. You crawl up in his arms. You sit at his feet. You sit on the back patio with him. You get still. You hang out with him. And you listen to him. That's what you do. The same group heard it. But there was a difference. Why the difference right there? Have you ever read that and said, so why the difference? They both hear the same thing. They both see the same thing. There's no doubt what they see. There's no doubt what they hear. But the reaction and everything is different. One ran away, didn't even want to go up to it. One said, got to go up to it. One went to the heart of the Father, and one ran away. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, right? The fear of God is that's my God. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. I can trust him. I know him. I love him. And I don't understand this, and I wouldn't want this for nothing. But God, I trust you, and I'm going to run to you because you got me. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm not in love with the things of God or the activities of God because, when the activities are good, give it up for Jesus. Have a flat hot water heater bust and your dog run off. Give it up for Jesus. I'll give Jesus something. No. I'm not saying jump up and down while your water heater floods your house. I'm just saying, hey, life, baby. Life. Just life. Life happens. Exodus 33:11. I'm not going to take you there. I just want to remind you of it. Exodus 33:11. A guy by the name of Moses walk out of his tent, go to another tent called the Tent of Tents. Cloud would come over. Moses would see it. It says Exodus 33:11 says that Moses would meet with God face to face. As a friend meets with a friend. A heart after God happens in face-to-face meetings. It's not chasing the things of God, chasing the heart of God. That's where it happens. Psalm 46:10 reminds us to be still and know that he's God. Be still, know that he's God. Slow down long enough to know that life is not about the things of God, it's about God. And chase him. I want to pop up a couple screens. First one, what I did is I just put down the characteristics of a person who is chasing the things or activities of God, okay? Now, this is not an exhausted list. I'm not trying to cover everything. I just want you to see it because I want you to think about it, okay? These are characteristics of people that do mostly the chase the things of God and not God himself. They're inconsistent in whatever area. You put that in there. Frustrated easily. They're jumpy. Disappointed. Mostly in God. God, why? You're not on time again. There you are again. Easily rattled. Distracted. They have a lot of chaos, or it's chaotic in their life, and they're unsettled. Listen, the reason this thing is like this is because that is the activity and things of God. Does that make sense to you? The activity and things of God can fluctuate, okay? If we're chasing fluctuating things, we're going to fluctuate. That makes sense to you? I want you to see another list. Characteristics of a person chasing God, the person of God, the heart of God. A little different. They're consistent. Peaceful. Steady. They're content. Gentle in spirit. They're focused. They're confident. And they're calm. Why? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If what you're chasing is calm and steady and peaceful and consistent, guess what you will become? Calm, peaceful, consistent. Does that make sense to you? You see it all the time. That's why the church is having such a hard time making an impact in the world. Because we look like it. Because we're just as jumpy. We beat on our steering wheel. We honk our horns. We kick lawnmowers. We throw things at people. Why? Because life is not going our way. That things are changing. Does that make sense? They're jumping. So we're jumping at them. Life happens, we jump. This happens, we jump. We react here, we react there. You say this, I'll react to you. You see what I mean? A person that's chasing after the heart of God says, I heard the thunder. Yeah, I heard it. What do you want me to do about it? I didn't make it. Or it might rain. Okay, good. Rain makes things grow. Well, there might be a tornado in that cloud. Okay. I don't doubt the fact that tornadoes come from clouds, but not every cloud has a tornado. You see what I mean? I mean, every hot water heater isn't God's fault. Your dog ate a hole in the fence and got out. God didn't eat the fence. The dog did. God made the dog. That's sometimes questionable, all right? Say, I love dogs. All right, but what I'm saying is, if you know the heart of God, you will trust the heart of God. Everything around you may not look peaceful. It may not be going your way. The timing might be good, might not be good right now. But listen to me, that does not change God. He's still God. We gotta stop as the church chasing the things of God and reacting to the things of the world just like the world does. We gotta get back to chasing the heart of God. So that when the life happens to us as the church, because we chase the heart of God, we run to the heart of God and not react to the things. That's what's disturbing to me when I look at people. People say, yeah, I know Christ. I've been a Christian all my life. And I'm like, I don't understand that phrase. I've never understood the phrase. I hear it all the time. I've been a Christian all my life. I'm like, I don't even know. I've been in the nursery. They're not Christians down there. They ain't communion being served. Nah, they ain't happening down there. All right. That Tonka truck is about to go upside somebody's head. All right. What I'm saying is that don't flush out. If you're born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb and redeemed from this world to a new home in heaven. Woo! Chase the heart that saved you. And quit chasing all that other stuff. Because all that other stuff is gonna just jump around, and you're gonna jump around. But God don't change. He's constant, consistent. He brought that son up, invitation for you to meet with him. That son's not jumpy. It's not jumpy. Oh no, I'm gonna get up there or not, it's so scary. But it just comes up. That's the creator. I gotta hurry. So let me say this, because I know you're thinking it, all right? This is not, this is not, golly, man. This is not about the what of a person's life. Because some of you are like, well, if I drove their truck, I'd be peaceful too. If I lived in that house, yeah, I'd be calm. If I had that income and that job, yeah, I would be sweating nothing. Everything is great in their life. This is not about the what of a person's life. This is about the who of a person's life. You got to catch that. See, y'all look at that list. You're like, well, if I had more stuff, if I had their stuff, oh, yeah, I'd be calm. I'd be sitting back. I'd be drinking lemonade and chilling. I know people that got big-time awesome trucks and big-time gorgeous homes, and they ain't got no peace in their life. None. None. You say, well, if I'd be so happy in that house, just let me have that house. I'd be so happy. I know people that have that house. Ask anybody in there if it's happy. I had a big old house when I was growing up as a kid. In the late 70s, my parents both made over $100,000 a year. Late 70s. When my parents both passed away, I could put both their belongings in one Walmart sack, and I still had room for some stuff. I'm just saying. You chase stuff, you'll get all that stuff. You'll get all the stuff that comes with the stuff. You chase the heart of God, you're gonna get God. And at the end of the day, that's the best, man. This is not about the what of a person's life. This is about the who. You can find out who real fast. I want you to go real quick to your scripture. And I mean real quick. All right, this is Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's story. It was penned after he was not where he was supposed to be. You might say he got bored. I had a whole nother message, okay? Could have tagged that one on last week. You might say he got bored. Instead of fighting, instead of leading his troops, instead of being on the front line, he sneaks back home. Remember? And all of a sudden, Bathsheba bathing on the balcony. He just had to look. And he just had to go over there. You get my drift. All right? Psalm 51, if you read it, that is David. This is when Nathan calls him out or approaches him about this. Okay? And I want to pick up. You can pick up before that if you want to, but verse 10. Go to verse 10. We're going to end here, I promise. David, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Yes. Or take your Holy Spirit from me. Watch this. Pax just said it. Didn't even know what I was preaching. All right. Restore to me. The joy of whose salvation? Your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Can I remind you of something? God called David a man after my own heart. He didn't get there by chasing the things. He listened to me. When he got off course, when he messed up, when he sinned, when he fell, he He repented. He fell on his face. He confessed. Look at the early part of Psalm 51. Against you and you alone have I sinned. That's her fault. That's his fault. It's their fault. It's my boss's fault. It's that traffic's fault. Against you and you alone have I sinned. You alone. And he repented, and God cleansed him, and God restored him. And he said, God, let me fall back in love with the joy of your salvation. Give me a willing spirit, man, that doesn't chase the things of God anymore. It chases the heart of God. And God called him a man after God's own heart. What's he call you today? What's God call you today? Not what you call God. What's God call you? She's a woman after my own heart. He's a man after my own heart. Church, listen to me. Stop chasing the things of God. Chase God. Stop chasing the stuff of God, the activity of God, and chase the heart of God. You say, well, you don't want me to come to church? You don't want me to worship? You don't want me to take freedom? No, I'm not saying that. Take all of it. Do all of it. Never miss it. Go all in. But while you're doing all that, don't forget the person of God. Because the activity and the things of God are not supposed to replace God. They're supposed to lead you to God. And if you fall in the trap of doing the things and activity of God and basing your worship on that outcome, you know where you are. Chase the heart of God. The heart of God will never disappoint you. The heart of God. The heart of God will always capture you. You'll be richer because of it. You'll be a person of peace. You'll be a person steady, right? I'm gonna ask you to stand, church. So this morning, you may be here this morning. He's saying, Jeff, the reason I'm jumpy, the reason I'm not consistent, the reason that I struggle is because I've been told that these things here would lead me to God. Maybe you've never, ever, 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 ever met the person of God. Remember, the woman at the well had five husbands living with a man. She met Jesus and said, you don't need any of those men. You just need me. You need a drink from this well that I give you. It'll become a well in you of living water. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus, today is a great day. You can meet him today. You can know the heart of God today and chase it. If you've been chasing the things of God and activity of God and you just feel bored and incomplete and jumpy and shaky and inconsistent and you don't like yourself, then come back to the heart of God. Let his loving kindness lead you to repentance like David. And David called you a man or woman after God's own heart. Ministry teams will be in the back, altar right here, wide open. Just come and fall and surrender and give up and say, God, I give you everything, man. I'm done calling the shots and dictating timing. I just surrender, man. I just surrender. I fall in love with your heart. So let me pray for us, and then you do what God leads. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, draw your church, draw your people, not to the activity or things of you, but to the heart of you. May we come back to you, God, to the heart of God. And may you call us men or women after the heart of God. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen, amen. You come if you need to.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word pray to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.